Hey, yo. We Talk Comics. It's episode number 80, Building the Ultimate Team. I'm Mo. I have my dog with me, Brett. You're there. You have your cat with you?
Nope, he's not here right now, which is good. So we're cat-free for
be.
A moment. He will be.
He will be. And Chris, I presume you have your beer with you.
No.
What?
I've switched addictions, man. Kickstarter is my new thing.
Yeah, if you're supporting Kickstarter,
I am now
you can afford beer.
25 things on Kickstarter. It's freaking ridiculous. I get more email from Kickstarter in a day than my entire job, and I get a lot of emails in my job. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Did
okay,
you support
well, that's a
Brigade?
I presume.
No, I did not. But Greg Rucka's Lady Saber, I'm all there for. That one funded today. Very excited about that.
Who was Lady Saber? What was that?
Greg Rucka's.
Oh, interesting.
Razor is back with a new graphic novel, and he's given away some wonderful stuff. I think.
But Razor sucked.
Yeah, but he's giving away every trade paperback. For like $10 if you support him.
You don't, you won't support
stuff,
Rob Liefeld, but
there's a lot of comics.
Rob
there.
Liefeld makes Razor look like Youngblood compared to Razor is like Moby Dick. It's so good. Like it was so bad. Who cares? It's awful. Razor was from, what was it? Was it Chaos or was it its own publisher?
It was published by London Knights.
London Knights. It's possibly the worst comic book series ever put to, like in the height of the Bad Girls era, it was the most generic comic book series ever to hit the shelves. And that's saying something because the Bad Girls era had a lot of generic crap.
It funded in 3 hours.
Oh my.
They're now at like 600%.
I hope it looks better than it did.
Oh, nothing about it was good before. Well, all right. Well, based on that, Chris, I'm just wondering, do you on Kickstarter, do you do anything that isn't comic book related or any other projects that you support?
Strangely, I'm supporting a lot of Lego films. Films made out of Lego. I don't know why, but there's a lot of projects out there that I find exciting involving Lego.
I'm really tempted because they're doing a film version of Radio Free Albemuth by Philip K. Dick, and that's on Kickstarter, so that's pretty tempting for me.
All right. Well, okay. All right. That's interesting. We don't have Keith this week,
so we can't truly build the ultimate team for ourselves.
Well, yeah, we can, because we don't have Keith this week.
Oh, that's right.
So what we can do is we can Brett. Tell everybody about, we can do the news. It'll be the weekly news with Cub Reporter Everybody, so Cub Reporter E, I suppose, but as we're going to do, everybody's going to have a little news items to throw in here to make up for the absence of our regular Cub Reporter K, but we have a sponsor for the news, Brett. You're very familiar with them. It's run by the two classiest men in comics, Aaron Long at Juice005 on Twitter, and Matt Centauri Griffith at PhotoCub. And I got his name right?
Yes, you did. Very good. See, it's
better. Getting better.
It's practice. Practice is making perfect. If you keep working at it, then you too can join the rest of us.
Well, anyways, we're very proud to have them as our new sponsor because it's a perfect site. Brett, tell everybody a little more about it.
Well, they have news. I know that's hard to believe. Interviews like crazy. They have reviews. They have lots of fun, interesting columns by, oh, I don't know, say, like me and Keith and lots of other people. And they have us, they host us as well, and the Hangout. So, you know, they have tons of stuff.
Yeah, Hangout, a really good video podcast, all female. So that was very interesting. And you know what else we got over there? You talk about the different columns and one written by you. I think that the way that they've split up and you're doing now over at Comicosity, those fellas, and you're part of this, Brett, looking at the numbers, inside the numbers there of sales figures, I think is the best on the internet. So I highly recommend that.
It's fun. It's fun to do.
All right. Chris, why don't you open up with a news item?
Okay. The news item I'm most excited about is Marv Wolfman is returning to the New Teen Titans. He hasn't written the title in probably 15, 20 years.
No, that's not true.
That's not true? Do you know when he last wrote it? I don't care. He's coming back.
3-4 years ago.
The only thing more exciting than Marvin Wolfman returning is if George Perez was returning with him. He's only returning from one issue in Villains Month, featuring Lord Trigon. And I kind of hope it only features Lord Trigon, because if Marv Wolfman is forced to write this new team of Teen Titans, he's not going to know what to do. I mean, his team is unrecognizable now. So, but he's back. I'm in for that one issue. Plus the covers of Villains Month look spectacular, so.
But how much of the Villains Month are you not going to be in for?
Yeah, I'm in all the way. So I guess that's not news.
I had a sneaking suspicion.
So somebody help me out here.
And by the way, you're right. I think it probably has been that long. I got confused. He was writing in the 2000, 2006, he's writing Nightwing, but he didn't write the Teen Titans series. So,
And you, so you're right. Can't forget that you're old.
I'm old. So, I mean, just look at me. I'm so old.
I try not to look at you, man.
Yeah, you have to. Right here. Anyways, it's not a video podcast. That's the hangout. What else you got for news, Chris? You got anything else?
Yeah, I guess I can do a second story. This isn't directly comic book related, but I think it's of an interest of all DC fans. The video game Injustice has added their third downloadable player, and it is Scorpion. Of course, not a DC character. This is a Mortal Kombat character.
Oh, I was wondering, because I'm like, Scorpion, isn't that a Marvel Comics character?
Nope. He is a Mortal Kombat character. He's the Yellow Ninja. A lot of controversy on the net about this one, because they stated when the developers took over the DC properties, they said they wouldn't. This would not be a Mortal Kombat game. They'd simply use their tech and expertise to create a purely DC experience. Now this is becoming a crossover.
Yeah, but it's becoming a crossover way after that it's been out, and they've already accomplished that original task. Now just adding additional content for fun.
There's also is this character going to be added to the storyline? The rest of the downloadable characters have been. How does this affect the comic book? Is Scorpion going to be added there as well?
That'd be
interesting.
Cool.
Interesting. Worth paying attention to anyway.
All right. Brett, you got some news. At least an item.
Well, I'm looking at the new digital experience that DC's putting together. The D2, D-squared, whatever you want to call it. And I'm looking at it.
I understand it is DC squared.
Yeah.
That is the official name from my understanding, though.
But it sounds really interesting, the concept of... So you got the DC squared multiverse, the choose-your-own-adventure books, which sounds really crazy, so that you can choose which characters are going to fight which other characters and follow that story down. I think that could give you a lot of rereading potential. And also then, I guess there's just the fact that we're going to have the panels, like the Mark Waid digital books, so it'll be kind of like the panels, well, you'll get like one bit of text, another bit of text, another bit of the image, that kind of thing. So I think that, you know, it's nice to see that DC is working towards improving their digital output in a different way. I mean, we already know that Marvel's working on that. And
yes, and we also have sound effects and music being added.
Yeah,
to DC squared multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Well, DC's already the leader in as far as digital content, and has been the leader, and has been the guys who are ahead on this, and they're continuing that, which is probably good. As far as choose your own adventure, that's fun, but it can't ever take away over from real storylines.
No, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. Yeah, it's Batman's. This is where Batman 66 is coming out. So
that's where I'm sort of disappointed, is that Batman 66, I don't think is a great starting point for that.
Well, but it's not for the multiverse one. It's just for the regular digital first series. The multiverse is going to be Arkham Origins.
Which is another Batman one, so
yeah.
Probably not much there. But either way, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think Marvel, and the other companies, be interesting to see if they can ever be as aggressive as DC is, or will DC get such a head start that they'll be always running from behind here, because DC's doing a great job in the digital universe.
On new content, yes. I kind of wish they'd open up their back catalog and have a DC Unlimited or something like that. Paying $1.99 for issues that are 10, 20 years old, I think is a little bit much.
Is it? I mean, you pay that if you go to a store, you pay twice that for a new issue.
These aren't new issues.
So? If they're good and they're quality and you're going to read them for the first time.
Yes, but the same could be said for brand new comics. They charge $2.99. They go down after a month to $1.99. So I think the precedence is set, is new is the premium. The older comic book gets, the less it's worth.
No, I don't think so. I think at a certain point you just say that's the price of a comic book. I mean, you're getting the same amount of pages. You're getting the same amount of story. You're still getting, you know, the same amount of content. Why should it be? I don't know. It'd be nice if they did do something unlimited, like a Marvel Unlimited. I agree with that, but I don't think that charging $2 for a book is ridiculous by any means. Personally, Brett, what do you think?
Well, I think that, I mean, obviously I prefer the 99-cent price point the older that the book gets. I mean, I really love the concept of what Marvel's doing. I love the idea that the older the book gets, then the fact that, sure, you can buy it on its own, or you can just buy Marvel's, you know, like the library card to Marvel's library and just keep reading from there. And that way you don't have to worry about specifically buying a single issue.
That is the best way. That is the Netflix type model. And that, so that is the way that people do want it. All right. What else we got for news? Anybody, Brett, you got anything else there?
Well, I'm looking at the Marvel Infinity, the Mighty storyline that, the Avengers are away, they need somebody to protect the Earth, and so they're, if you have the AR app, then they're allowing you to kind of, go on, I think, at certain times and check the, and check who's being lined up on the team. So far we have four heroes announced, I believe. We got, She-Hulk, I think it is. And Luke Cage is the team leader. Superior Spider-Man's on it. And Adam the Blue Marvel.
Who the hell? I have a vague recollection, but...
Apparently he was in one limited series.
Yeah, so was Comet Man. I don't see him coming back yet.
It's too bad. I like Comet Man. So there's two more that are going to be announced for the Mighty.
This Adam the Blue Marvel is an extremely powerful character, isn't he?
That's what I see.
Yeah, okay.
A man who his conscience told him he had to stand down at the command of his president.
Okay, interesting.
But really, I'm more interested in the concept of A, Luke Cage's team leader, and B, the superior Spider-Man under Luke Cage's team leader.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, I suppose it has as much a chance of succeeding or failing as anything else. I mean, I can't say that I see this and get extremely excited.
Until they announce the creative teams, I don't think it's even worth paying attention to. Marvel has never really truly succeeded in space. They've got some cool guys out there. They've had single characters succeed, but they've never really. I don't think they've ever really figured out what's going on outside of New York sometimes.
What? Are you kidding? I can sit here and list off.
One character that's other than the Silver Surfer that has had a long run. One team in space.
One team in space that's had a long run? Well, how about Adam Warlock?
32 issues is a long run now?
Well, 32 issues over, actually, probably close to 80 issues over about a 10-year decade. 10-year span, it's not bad.
Started
a couple times.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. I don't
know. Silver Surfer, I think, is the max it's reached is 125. But, I mean, I just don't think that – here's why I would disagree.
You can argue Thor as well.
Yeah, you could argue Thor. Absolutely, you could. I mean, I think you look at things like Operation Galactic Storm. I think you look at the things like aliens, like the Skrulls. I think the Skrulls is a more powerful, well-known and popular alien space race than anything that DC has. I look at things like, of course, the Infinity Gauntlet. That's been so big. They've worked a lot with Annihilation. A lot of people did like that, and that went on for several years in many different formats. You got your, who is it? Scott Summers' father.
Oh, Corsair, and the Starjammers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the X universe has been into space a lot. I mean, look at, like,
X has been talk into
about,
a lot.
Talk about the Fantastic Four, the Inhumans.
I guess what
Captain
I'm saying
Marvel,
is.
Captain Marvel.
And, I guess what I was races. Trying to say is DC has always been more successful in the cosmic
era.
That's
not true. DC's had one character that's successful. And sometimes he's set in space and sometimes he's set on Earth. And that's it.
Yeah,
outside
it's Green Lantern.
I was just thinking aloud.
Green Lantern has been successful in space at times and at times on Earth. But really, you look at anything, even Jack Kirby's Fourth World, really, I don't think that's as nearly as anything out of coming out of that is nearly as successful as what a lot of what Marvel's had in space.
I think Marvel's developed a much bigger space universe, I think, and ultimately, I think that maybe bigger isn't the right term because Lord knows the Green Lantern universe is huge and
well, that's it. The Green Lantern universe swallows everything up.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's one thing.
But there's just so many things. And with Marvel, it just...
And a lot of that's recent, though, with Green Lantern, too.
Yeah. I mean, Marvel's just goes everywhere.
When they tried with Manhunters or Darkstar out there, it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could consider Legion of Superheroes a space thing, but I don't.
But, I mean, now, I mean, you know, you look at Galactus, Fantastic Four, you look at you know, the Skrulls are Fantastic Four, but almost everybody has a different space.
Well, when you think of villains in space, galactic villains, I think of Darkseid in DC. If you ask me over at Marvel, I'm going to talk about all their cosmic characters that are fascinating to me. Some are evil, some aren't, but I'm going to talk about the Celestials. I'm going to talk about Chaos and Order. I'm going to talk about Death. I'm going to talk about Eternity. I think they've done a much better job of setting a much more interesting overall space universe than DC, which has Darkseid, the Guardians of the Galaxy, or not Guardians, whatever, the Guardians, just the Guardians. But.
Yeah, I guess it just sort of bugs me that it's not as cohesive as the DC universe, but you know what, you're right.
Well, and there's no
I
question.
Can see too.
I mean, there is no book that has lasted like a Green Lantern in those titles.
But like I said, I mean, I've seen periods where Green Lantern didn't leave Earth forever.
Yeah.
You know. But then again, like I say, it's really the Green Lantern as being so dominant, and now it has so many series over the last several, you know, decade or whatever with Geoff Johns, that it really seems like more in your mind than it really has been for a long time, I think. It kind of, you know, recent history is the most vivid memory in this case. All right, Chris, now that we put you in your place, you're still the smartest man of the podcast, so don't worry about it.
I never really do.
I mean, Brett, you got anything else there?
No, that's pretty much the end for me.
Okay, well, Benicio del Toro, speaking of space, has been added to the Guardians of the Galaxy cast. So I'll just throw that one out there. That's another news item. There's a documentary, apparently, a German documentary that has a diary that Heath Ledger created when he was doing a backstory for his Joker character that's out there. And so I think that's kind of interesting. I wonder if we could ever, ever see that, have see the light of day. I think that would be fascinating.
Even if it's just a little bit adapted into some sort of comic book. could be something. Cool.
Something, yeah, that could be very cool if they did it that way. Apparently, Brett, there's a Fables movie in development, and the producers of Harry Potter are the ones who are looking to option that franchise, I guess we can call it. What do you think of that? You're a huge Fables fan. What do you think of the idea of the, you know, Harry Potter's producers looking into doing a Fables movie?
Well, I think they did a fine job with Harry Potter overall, and you know, it's interesting because they tried really hard, and I thought for sure that we were going to see a Fables TV series, but that never saw the light. And so, a movie, I mean, good luck to them, really. If they can pull it off, then, and I hope they can, then I'll certainly be there to see it.
Well, it's written by, apparently, Jeremy Slater, who wrote the Fantastic Four reboot, so I don't know if that's a good sign or not. Bill Willingham, of course, obviously, hopefully will have some say. I'd prefer to see him write it then.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how much you could blame him for the Fantastic Four film, but...
yeah, I mean, he didn't hire the actors.
No, that's exactly right. And they also have a director, Nikolaj Arcel, apparently a director of a Danish drama called A Royal Affair. So it sounds like it's pretty far into development. It is the type of series that would work better as a... like an HBO series than a movie, though, wouldn't it, Brett?
Oh, I would love to see it as an HBO series. Absolutely. I mean, there's such a wealth of storylines. I don't even know how they could. I mean, essentially, it takes 75 issues to really bring the first major arc to a close. So I don't know how you're doing that in a movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna throw out this one here. Another news item. The Trinity War Part 1 apparently is where we're going to see the return of the Dr. Light character, but a very different Dr. Light character than what we've seen before, a brand new one. As quoted here, according to DC, the new 52 Dr. Light is not the same character you may recall from his previous incarnations. This time around, he's a virtuous family man who's a good husband and father. But as Dr. Light becomes more and more involved with the Justice League of America, he becomes increasingly conflicted about the team's motives. After all, if each member of the JLA was chosen to take out a specific member of the Justice League, what's Dr. Light's role meant to be? Also, apparently, Pandora will be returning and having a more major role in this. So, some news for the DC fans out there. And some more DC fan news. Zoriel. Of course, Zoriel, the fallen angel character who at one point in time in the 90s was considered being considered by Morrison. He's created by Morrison and Mark Miller, actually. Was the first, I think it might have been even in the first series written by Mark Miller in North America, was the miniseries. And Zoriel was considered a chance to be the new Hawkman. And he's returning in the new 52, which is funny because when I said we should have a Team Hawkman thing and I mentioned Zoriel, you all went, I don't even know that character. Well, maybe you'll get to know him now.
Well, you know, I'm sure that we'll read, if he has a number one, then we'll read it for the podcast. And then that will be the, you know, the last time I read him, so.
maybe not. Maybe you'll love him. Guardian Angel Zoriel, originally created by Grant Morrison. He's going to be in the Trinity of Sin, The Phantom Stranger, number 10. As where he'll have a return. So I'm not so sure he will read it for the show. That would be out of our normal previews.
But no, but if, you know, I mean, frankly, most of these characters get something at some point, so.
Exactly. Well, go back and read his miniseries by Mark Miller. It was very interesting. It was a very different Mark Miller than the one you know. Because, like I say, it was his first work when he had just taken over and was brought in by Morrison to work on Justice League at the time with him, Justice League America. So.
If you're going
to
bring back a Morrison character, why can't it be Aztec?
Zoriel's much cooler than Aztec. I love the Aztec series because it was so well written. But as far as a character that's sellable, a character that's, I mean...
Zoriel's like any Hawkman's ever been described.
Well, he never was Hawkman, dummy. Come on.
Sellable Hawkman. Just, come on.
Come on.
Dude,
Morrison's theory at the time was introduce a character like this, a fallen angel with wings and everything like that. And if we want to make him Hawkman because Hawkman's never been sellable. Now we have a character with a backstory and a built-in fan base through Justice League who might be sellable as Hawkman, but DC nixed it. So We'll never know.
It's because DC should be a Team Hawkman.
Still a good idea. Let's get hashtag Team Hawkman trending. I know, like I say, Aaron Long of Comicosity will help me on that one. All right, guys. Anything else we want to say?
I wish the two of you great happiness.
Brett, is that the news?
I think that's the news.
All right, so this week's big topic here is building the ultimate superhero team. And basically what we're going to do here is throw to Chris, because this show topic came up as his idea.
So blame actually, Chris.
This is Keith's idea when we were – this is sort of Keith's idea. When we were talking in between records one day, we started just sort of theorizing about our fantasy X-Men team. And I thought it would be kind of fun to talk about it on the podcast and give you guys our personal ultimate lineups for the X-Men, the JLA, and the Avengers, as well as a fantasy all-companies team. And give you the reasons why we put the characters on the team and like that. Just giving you an insight into our soul, comic book souls, that is.
You're going a little too deep on it, but we're building the ultimate teams for different team books.
Yeah. Basically, we're talking a high class version of talking about what's in superheroes' underwear. That's just some good old-fashioned character talk.
Brett, did you realize that's what we're doing?
No, I had no idea, and I actually feel like I may have somewhere else to be.
Yeah, me too. All of a sudden, Chris may be doing this one by himself. But anyways, all right, let's do this.
I put a lot Chris, of thought into this one, man.
You have?
I spent the last two days.
That's pretty common for you.
Coming
though.
Up with my teams, man.
Oh, I'm coming up with most of the team mode, Chris. I'm coming up with most of them right now as we record.
I have
Chris. Tell me about your ultimate X-Men team.
I have a great team.
Was that Chris, Brett?
I have a great team.
Okay.
It's got Punisher, and the Red Hulk, and Deadpool, and Elektra. Oh. This team is going to be awesome.
Call them the Dark Avengers.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Chris. Chris, give us your ultimate X-Men team.
All right. To start things off, you need a leader. I have the ultimate, my favorite X-Men leader of all time is Storm. And not Halle Berry, wussy Storm. We're talking Mohawk Storm. Powerless, but ultimate in control Storm. The thing about the X-Men that has always bothered me, they don't have a tactician. They run off into battles hilly-nilly. So second command of my team is Domino. Her superpower, she's a tactician. That's it. That's what she does. She can strategize. She forms plans. This is good for an X-Men team. Of course, you need somebody who can get dirty. Wolverine usually fills this role, but I don't personally love Wolverine. I'm picking a underused X-Men. Mero. Cool look, cool power. She tears bones out of her back. How badass is that? Love her. She can take care of the dirty business. Of course, you need a powerhouse. Colossus usually fills this role, but he's always filled this role. I'm picking a bad guy. I want Juggernaut on my team. Unstoppable force.
We can do that. We can take villains. We don't have to take guys who actually were X-Men.
He did.
He's not even a mutant, is he?
He is a mutant, and he has served.
Isn't his helmet giving him his powers?
He has served on an Excalibur team.
That is true.
That is true. Of course, you need a young kid. I don't know how young this kid really is, but he always plays it in the comic books. Cannonball, the most badass X-Men they never use. I love Cannonball. I want him on supporting me. You also need sort of a, I call it a mystery character. This character, to me, is not so much of a mystery, but she adds intrigue on the team. I got Dazzler. You never know what's going to happen when Dazzler's in a book. I need her on my team.
I know what happens that when Dazzler's in a book.
It gets canceled.
It gets canceled. See, there you go. You got it, Mo.
You know what? If Keith was here, he loved my team, man.
Oh.
Well, I would love to know if anybody would love your team after five issues, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, come on. Cannonball has fans.
I actually do like the Cannonball character. I always have, but... I also like Sunspot, but he's not going to be on my team either. Brett.
Wow.
Go ahead. Your X-Men team. Top that.
There's no chance of topping that one, that's for sure. You know, I would love to basically make it a big fat mishmash of my favorite X-Men characters, because, like, I would want to start with Kitty Pryde. The only problem with starting with Kitty Pryde, and I think that now, like, her later character could actually lead an X-Team. The only problem with it is that she kind of has the tie to Wolverine. And I wouldn't want to put Wolverine on my team. So that kind of hurts. I love Scott Summers as a leader of the X-Men. But it's almost like when you take Scott Summers, you have to... see, there he is.
There it is. There we go. I knew Angus would show up sooner or later.
But when you take Scott Summers, I think that that you need some of the original X-Men to go on there. But let's see now. So if I was going to take an X-Men team, I'm going to put Kitty Pryde. I'm going to put Colossus on the team because of his relationship to Kitty. I will take Iceman, put him on the team for some humor. I'll put, Gambit's way too overused as the mystery character, so he would definitely bore me after a while. I'm gonna put Bishop on as the mystery character. And then I'm going to top it off with Strong Guy.
Interesting. Well, I'm kind of somebody who's what's my favorite X-Men? Well, actually was the X-Factor when it was all the original guys coming back, but it's going to be largely that and kind of the two most classic teams. I would be doing a large mishmash. I would definitely have Scott Summers because I think Scott Summers has proven to be the great tactician in leading them in battle. He's the one who'll sit there, much like Captain America, and call out that different places. So I will have Scott Summers as obviously, and Jean Grey, the Beast, because I love the Beast. Love Beast. Love him. Iceman's going to be there. Of course, Professor X is going to be there. Of course, on the side, you know, in his chair, calling out orders. But you got those four lead characters. I would have Colossus in there for his strong guy. I'd have Nightcrawler in there because I think he brings a different element as far as a different look and a different personality dynamic into it. So and then I would have the guy who I kind of think plays a role that X-Men needs is a guy who's not necessarily in the field but can help them in other ways, and that's Forge. So Forge would be my last member of my team. So basically I'd look at kind of combining some of the guys from the two most classic lineups, and then Forge is kind of the guy to help them on the sidelines.
You know who's not going to be on my team? Havoc.
No, Havoc is not on my team. Wolverine is on none of our team.
Psylocke, actually. So. I would put Psylocke on my team, too.
I would not. I always hated Psylocke.
Oh, way to start to support the status quo, guys.
Well, we didn't spend the same amount of time on this as you did.
Hey, I put Strong Guy on my team.
I put Forge on my team. That's not status quo, man. Brett, Avengers. It's the Ultimate Avengers team, man.
Wow. The Ultimate Avengers team. You know, one of the things, because I was rereading, I reread the Masters of Evil taking over the Avengers Mansion storyline, and one of the things that I'd actually forgotten about the Avengers at the time was how they constantly had people switching into the leadership role. And so it reminded me of how horrifically bad some of the characters are, especially when they're trying to lead the team. Like Wasp, you know, she was really, like, she's not a bad leader, but she's a terrible leader of the Avengers in that regard, especially at that point. So, I think for me, I would have to have Captain America, because it's really hard to imagine an Avengers team without Captain America. I need Hawkeye. I love the Hawkeye versus Captain America element. Well, you know, it's funny because here we go. I'm just going to basically rehash the Avengers team that's in the movies, which is going to seem kind of lame. But there's a reason that those are the biggest ones. The only one that I probably wouldn't bother with is the Black Widow. But I mean, I love Iron Man. I love Thor. They fill such, you know, core needs in the team. You know, I certainly, I'm not a big fan of Hercules overall in the book, but yeah, I think that I don't even know that I need that much more other than those four characters. I mean, you've got just so much there, but I want the wisecracking Hawkeye that wants to take leadership. I don't want the Avengers movie Hawkeye that just kind of sits back and, you know, is solid at the back end.
Yeah, I agree with you on that Hawkeye. That's the one I want too. And Brett, I understand. I mean, if you take those four characters, it's just, I can't imagine the Avengers without Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, and, who was the last one?
Hawkeye,
thank you. I can't imagine without those guys. I do like the Wasp. She is going to be in there. Then I took a look at some other characters that are kind of out there that are very much associated with the Avengers. As Chris continues to nod his head at both of us, he's just so disappointed. But I don't care. But then I look at the characters that are associated with them, guys like Hank Pym. Even though Wasp is there, I wouldn't have Pym in there. Black Widow, I'm not a fan of, for instance. I do like Hercules. I would have Hercules and Namor in there. I figure if you're going to go with the Avengers, you really want to go with a powerful team. So I throw those two in there because, I mean, that's to me, the Avengers are when all the other superhero teams fail, when the Fantastic Four fails and the X-Men fails to save the Earth, it's the Avengers' job. So I'm going to have them be as powerful as possible. I'm going to have those in there. And I'm going to have the Black Knight in there. Why? Because he kind of can also play much a similar role to me as what Hawkman can. Kind of that guy, Hawkeye can. Kind of that guy who doesn't quite fit into the team, but creates a dynamic that kind of still manages to bind them all together. I'm a big fan of the Black Knight, so I definitely have him in there.
I love the Black Knight, no question.
Sorry, Brett. Black Knight is another character I know you're a big fan of, too.
Now, would you have Black Knight and Hawkeye on the same team? Don't they Absolutely. Serve that same purpose? There's to no reason degree. To have both. I don't think they've ever served on a regular team. Black Knight came in when Hawkeye left.
I think they might have, but the thing is, Black Knight to me is kind of the same thing. But I don't think he wants to take over.
Of course, I'm talking to a guy who wants an all Hawkman team.
But I don't think he wants to take over so much, and I don't think he's as wisecracking. I think he's more brooding. But I just think that just that idea of he's a bit of that Maverick character who doesn't fit in with the team dynamic, and yet he somehow manages to be the glue that binds them together. I think that's the role where I look at for them.
I only think you need one of those characters.
I think they're very different personalities, so I think it's good. And I would see them actually conflicting each other, and that would be interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of where I would see it. Like in this case, I'm not trying to fill specific roles. I'm actually looking at characters that I think would be very interesting to have in roles that they've played before on the same team. And that's why I totally see that wisecracking leadership Hawkeye who's having a battle with Captain America over the leadership, but then you've got the Black Knight who, you know, is just strong, steady, has the scientific knowledge, but I could see how he and Hawkeye would not get along in that regard. I love your choice, Mo, of Namor, because anytime you got Namor on there, you got heat. And
yeah, that's right.
It does add some.
And Namor and Hercules, I think, really play off each other well, too, because their personalities are so vastly different. See, Hercules, to me, is another one of those characters who can't carry a regular book.
No.
I don't find him interesting in a regular book. I find him great in a large team book. Chris, it's your turn. Let's go. We're going to sit back and... this should be entertaining, folks.
Okay, I'm going to give you two right off the bat to get you back on board. Any team, the only team leader for the Avengers, as far as I'm concerned, Captain America. He has an A on his forehead for a reason. It stands for the Avengers. Hawkeye, the only guy who can play second banana as far as I'm concerned. Now, here's where I get a little bit funky. I want the Beast on my team, man.
I gotta have Beast on my team too, because Beast, I love him.
You can't change now, man.
He's a great Avenger.
Yeah, I can't. I'm just adding.
You locked your team, man. There's no adding.
I forgot it. I'm adding Beast. Beast is also in. Beast is in my Avengers. And you know what? If we do a Defenders team, Beast is in there for me too.
Totally. But you know what, Chris? That's the thing. This is the Avengers. You can add members left, right, and center. I mean, everybody's open and everybody's available at any given time, pretty much.
After the Beast, I need a strong guy on my team. Who's the strongest there is? The Hulk. Does he work on Avengers? No, he's out. Who do I get to replace him? She-Hulk. I've always enjoyed the character. I think she works well in a team situation. I want her on my team. I kind of imagine her dating Beast. I don't know why.
Red She-Hulk or?
No, Green She-Hulk. Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk. Who do I get to add magic to get us into some sort of trouble? I got a weird one here. I want Brother Voodoo on my team. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Doctor Strange.
No. I almost went with Doctor Strange, and I thought, you know what? Brother Voodoo, I think, needs a spotlight. I think him serving on a regular Avengers team is really interesting. I really like the time he spent with the new Avengers. I want to see how he fits in with my team. I think there's some fun to be had there.
I was pulling for Dr. Druid.
He's dead, and I really don't like the balding fat guy in tights thing. It never worked for me outside of Warren Ellis.
That was not his character. What the hell are you talking about?
Dr. Druid.
Yeah, balding fat guy in tights?
Yeah.
It's not the Dr. Druid I know.
Okay. He's a little bit different. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was a balding fat guy, and like fattish guy in tights during his...
Compared to Captain America, he's a fat guy.
Yeah.
He was when he first debuted, but he wasn't in the Ellis series.
Definitely not.
The further revamp of him, he wasn't that at all.
No. Yes, in the Ellis series, he was also part three, so we can't really...
Yeah.
And you know what? You guys are going to, like, blow a gasket on my last member, because I want a little bit more strength. I want some intrigue. And Luke Cage was busy, so I asked Rage to come in and learn to be a superhero. I love Rage. I was so disappointed when Keith a couple weeks ago on Comicosity, on We Talk Podcasts, dispelled the rumor that Rage was going to be in the S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot. I miss him. I want him back. I want the full-blown yellow Cheeto-wearing Rage on my team.
I think of his outfit. I thought his outfit was black and red.
It was black and yellow.
Was it black and yellow?
Yeah, he had a cheetah thing or a tiger thing going over his head. It was really,
really
stupid and kind
of
racist.
Also doesn't seem to remember it this way. I don't remember that.
I think I remember a little bit more along Moe's lines. But, you know, that being said, I've read very little New Warriors because, for the most part, the vast majority of those characters suck ass, like Rage.
Speedball.
Yeah, I was going to say we need to throw
Namorita.
Speedball into the team. Yeah, really, about the only one that that I can live with is...
Nova was only good one.
Darkhawk?
And he was only a semi-regular. What's that?
Darkhawk? Nova.
What?
Darkhawk was in there, too.
Oh, the Darkhawk was in. He was also a late addition to the team, you're right.
Yeah, he joined the same issue that Rage did, so...
Well, I'd happily
Rage
take
became
Darkhawk.
Team leader, though, didn't he? No,
I don't
who was the team leader?
Night Thrasher.
Night Thrasher? He's awful. Maybe he was the black and red.
He was black and red. Yeah. But he is awful. He is 100% awful.
All right. Time to do... We're going to do the Justice League, and I'll go first because I'm just going to bore you. But the Justice League, to me, they are the team that is... This is it. I mean, it only needs to be those seven characters. It's the original three, the Trinity that holds it all together, the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. That's your core. Then there's the supporting characters. It's the Aquaman, the Flash, Green Lantern, and what do you call it again? John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. While I can sit there and say that I've enjoyed some other incarnations, and I always like Green Arrow in the Justice League, but I like him more as a guy who shows up to put them in their place than as a guy who's a regular member. I mean, to me, the Justice League is the best superhero team of all time, but it is the most important. It is the core of that. This is it. That is the Earth's mightiest superheroes of that universe. There's no sense in having anybody else in when the chips are down and you need the world to be saved. Those seven guys, nobody else added in. Those seven guys and six guys, one girl, are the ones who stand for the planet and defend it. It's the iconic image. It's what started. It's what's most important to DC's legacy. That image. So for me. So, I mean, I wish I could go anywhere else, but that is the ultimate team for me. Chris, it's just sad.
Yeah, no, I am. I kind of wish you could come up with something else. Actually, I sort of agree. I went a different direction, and I said, okay, if I'm creating the Justice League, I personally hate when characters have their own book and the Justice League, that they have to sort of sort out some continuity. I don't want too many big characters on there. I have to have some because it is the Justice League of America. So I do have some. But I start off, I got rid of Batman first off. Who do you replace him with? I think it's time for a Teen Titan to graduate. I have Nightwing leading my team.
Leading?
Leading.
Never led the team.
I'm also kicking Superman off my team. So, who do you think Batman and Superman, if they had a conference, would agree, could lead the Justice League into a new era? And I think Nightwing is an obvious character. He's put in the time. I want him to put on big boy pants. He's leading my team. Who's he bringing up with him from the Teen Titans? Who's getting a major leader status? I think Starfire should follow.
Then you need a
Maverick. You need an old guy to keep things together, have some continuity. I'm using Green Arrow. You also need a powerhouse, and I don't want to throw out the Justice League entirely. Otherwise, it becomes an adult version of the new Teen Titans. I don't want that. I got Wonder Woman on my team. And who else can run this Adalite but Martian Manhunter? I got John Jones. He's there. He's old school. And and I need a new person. I need something to keep it a little bit young. I got Stargirl. It's different, I know, but
it's not as wacky as your X-Men. Like, nothing after that seems all that crazy. So
yeah, we shouldn't have started with the X-Men. Should have finished off.
Yeah, we had known, Chris. We would have had you finish with that sucker.
Oh, wait till the last section, man. My team is really whacked out.
Oh, Brett, you got your next.
You know, the Justice League is kind of hard for me. I struggle because mostly I look at it and say, like, there is that feeling of just wanting the core Justice League team, because that's, I struggle with the whole concept just because, you know, there's a reason that some of these guys are iconic in their roles, and the core team is iconic in that way. But there, I have to have me some blue and gold action. There is no question that the Giffen DeMatteis and Maguire run, I love the Blue Beetle Booster Gold interaction. I want that back. I'm not saying I need Guy Gardner involved, but in fact, I would love to have Jon Stewart involved. I think that he would be a hilarious, catcher to their zany mayhem. After that, really, you don't even need anybody else because it's just all craziness and seriousness together. It's just a three-man Justice League team for me.
But you know what? It's funny, though, because yours is, Brett, yours is the one that's designed to be the most entertaining. Chris's is the one that's designed to be the most original, and mine's the one designed to be the most iconic.
Yep.
So that's, it kind of all fits a role there.
We would all read the books. So that's cool. That's the difference.
That's the thing. Yeah, exactly. So, okay, let's then talk about the last one, which is just building the ultimate superhero team, if you could build it. No name for the team. Just if you're going to – this is just – it's a standard. We base – kind of picked off of archetypes, though. So who do you have for you, Chris? And we'll go through – instead of doing it by a team, we'll go through individual character. Chris, if you're going to build a team, who's your dynamic leader?
Okay. I did name my team. I call them the Spoilers.
Of course you did.
I've been working hard on this one, man. Who's my team leader? Winter Soldier. A tactician, a leader, basically a violent Captain America. Captain America with guns. I want him out in front of my team.
Winter Soldier. Okay. Okay.
I'm big into promotion. from junior league to major league, I want these characters to progress.
See, I think of him more, Chris, as a maverick, as a loner, than I do a team leader, a dynamic team leader.
Yeah.
There is that. See, you're thinking about that now.
No, I mean, that's why my team is the Spoilers, man. All my characters are sidewinders. And if you're going to have a leader of my team, the only one could handle the powerhouse that's behind him is Winter Soldier. Captain America, he's too goody-goody. Winter Soldier, dirty enough to handle my badass team.
All right, Brett, what do you got for your dynamic team leader?
All right, my dynamic team leader is actually going to be Nick Fury. Because I think he's that tactician. He's grizzled. He's hard. He can be hardcore, and he'd need to be because I got some. I'm gonna have some wackiness coming up.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I gotta say, if I'm gonna do a dynamic team leader, that to me means I'm gonna do Superman and Captain America. And of course, I could have both on my team. I don't think you have Superman or Captain America, but that's it. I mean, they're, one's the leader of one's universe, the other one's the leader of the other universe. I don't think you have both of them. I think you have to make a decision. As a team leader, ultimately, for me, it's Captain America. Can't go with anybody else. All right, Chris, your second banana.
Yeah.
How would you describe the second banana?
Second banana, second in charge, must command the respect of all the members of the team, yet defer to the leader at all times, or at most times. You know you're in trouble, when the second banana is in disagreement with the leader. Once again, this is a little weird. I would love to see the dynamic between Winter Soldier and Wonder Woman.
I'd like to see Winter Soldier and Nightwing.
I think they're too similar. I don't think you get the conflict there. I really like you have the mysterious origin soldier, and you got the warrior goddess Wonder Woman. They'd agree on a lot of things, but I think they disagree just as much. It could be very interesting.
Hmm. All right, Wonder Woman. That's a different choice. Brett, what do you think?
All right, for my second, I'm going to jump way off the board, and I'm going to go with Grifter. I'm going to go with the Wildstorm Grifter, because I think that Grifter and Nick Fury would make a very interesting start of the team.
Yeah, I would almost agree with that. Grifter and Lynch.
But here's the thing. A Grifter I would put in the Maverick category that's upcoming. I wouldn't put him in your second banana.
Because
I don't think he plays that same role of being the guy who stand up and say, you're wrong here. You're wrong here. You're wrong here.
No, that's fair. That is totally fair.
Yeah. Of course, you might as well just call your team the Mavericks. Well, my team, which doesn't have a name, my second banana is going to be Hal Jordan. I think Hal Jordan is the perfect guy to play off Captain America, the perfect guy to have that alternating personality. I think the dynamic between a Captain America and Hal Jordan would be very, very interesting. Chris?
Yeah, okay, we're on to the Mavericks. You may notice so far my team is kind of violent. Wonder Woman, Warrior Goddess, Winter Soldier, Badass Soldier. So the Maverick, the only Christian character I can remember in the Marvel Universe, I got Nightcrawler on my team. Different kind of Maverick, but still a Maverick.
Hmm. Brett, you're a Maverick.
All right, I'm going to go with the Punisher. He completely doesn't fit on most teams, but you know, again,
he's the only Maverick who's going to out-Maverick your other Maverick.
That's right, exactly.
You just,
so he could
you
work.
Just Googled comic book characters with guns, didn't you, Brett?
No, it's funny because when you told me, or when we talked about Grifter being the Maverick, and I thought, okay, well, let's choose a character that is a Maverick that could also be a different second banana type character. So I came up with the Punisher.
All right. If I'm going to go with a Maverick, I'm going Black Panther. I think Black Panther is the perfect Maverick for this team to work with Hal Jordan and Captain America personally.
So basically what you're saying is you have Team Goody Goody.
Hardly.
It's more goody goody than my team.
Well, yes. I wouldn't consider a team goody goody.
All right. Are we on to Strong Guy?
We're on to Strong Guy. And by the way, I'm going to add two in that aren't on there. Just okay. So you're being warned right now.
Okay.
Your powerhouse. Your Strong Guy.
My powerhouse. Probably the most powerful on the team. Well, not really. I got a special one coming up. But I was tempted to go with the Hulk, but I hate the Hulk on a team. I'm going with the Pit. Dale Cohen's badass Hulk-like character with extremely large teeth and nails. This was a character that hasn't been around in a while, but I always thought deserved more of a shot.
Dale Keown is working on the Hulk. Peter David's writing, he's working on the Hulk. He goes to Image. He creates a character who you just said is the Hulk. And he deserves more of a chance. I don't understand you, Chris.
I like the Pit. He has big ass teeth, man.
He's a gray Hulk with longer hair.
And a grunge shirt.
Fantastic. It's fantastic. But maybe he'd work better on a team than the Hulk.
Oh, my God. Well, Brett, who's your powerhouse, your strong guy?
All right. We're going to not stop the bleeding, and I'm going to go with Bad Rock.
Who?
Bad Rock. Rob Liefeld's Rocky ripoff of The Thing and stuff like that. So, yes. Because I can't imagine anybody who would work worse with the team that I've already thrown together.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, my strong guy, I go with Exo Manowar. And I just... Chris, go on. We're going to do... We got one mystery man, but I'm going to throw two out there that are, like I say... your science character.
I actually don't have a science character. I have a mystery man.
I know. That's what I said. I'm going to throw you out. I'm throwing a curveball. Oh. I'm giving two new categories. We have mystery man, and now we're throwing out two new categories before we get to mystery man at the end.
Okay.
So you're going to do your science character.
Science character.
Yeah. Every good team always has that guy who's in the background, you know, who's manning the satellite or who's, you know, creating the Reed Richards, the Tony Stark,
you know what?
You know,
in a lot of ways, there's only one that ever really works for me, and that's the Beast. I want him on my team. If I need techno babble, he can provide it.
Okay, Brett, who's your science guy?
Can I choose Dr. Heinz Doofenshmirtz from Phineas and Ferb? And perhaps he will create a bad guy away in Ator?
No. Who's your science guy?
I have some respect for this.
Who is my science guy?
I want to read the comic book I'm creating.
Hell, I would read the comic book I'm creating because it sounds crazy. Who knows? You never know what you're going to get until you read it. But, who would my science guy be? Well, I'm gonna go with Bruce Banner.
That's a good choice. I'll go with Steel, John Henry Irons. He's the only time I really found that he's been really, really well used was when he was the science guy of Justice League for Morrison. That's the only addition to the original seven that I really enjoyed. So that's it for me. I go with John Henry Irons. I've got two more now. Your rookie or young guy character.
Invincible, no question. He was coming up on my team anyway as the rookie. Invincible, powerhouse, interesting character. I think works well with the rest of my team.
Brett?
Damage.
I like Damage there. That's a good one. I got Red Robin, Tim Drake. Comedy character, Chris. Who's the character who lightens the mood?
I have to say Invincible is playing double duty on this one.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Don't screw with my team.
You have to come up with something. You can't double up somebody.
Yeah, I can.
Who's your comedy character?
He's hilarious.
Doesn't matter. There's lots of hilarious characters.
I guess Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, okay.
And I'm killing him second issue, man. It is going to bite his head off.
Because nothing beats comedy like that second issue.
Can we do my
Brett,
mystery
your comedy guy?
Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. They have to be together.
Yeah, it works. My comedy guy, I'm going to go with. I'll go with Chris's science guy, Beast. Because that way he can be a science guy with John Henry Irons. But he's also funny. I always thought Beast is hilarious. So Beast is mine. All right, Mystery Man. To sum it all up, Chris.
Mystery Man. I'm picking the ultimate Mystery Man. This character doesn't even know who he is. I got the Max on my team. He doesn't do much. But he's on the team.
Oh, my God. All right, Brett.
All right, I'm going to finish off the messiest team in history with the messiest hero in history, Rorschach.
My mystery man, I'm going to go, as much as I want to go with the question, ultimately I'm going to go with the Batman. And that's great, because now I have the Batman and Black Panther in the same team. That, to me, is always the greatest thing ever. All right, well, here's what I'm expecting to hear from everybody. Chris, go through again all 8 of your characters. I think it was 8.
All right.
For the spoilers.
For Team Spoiler, we have the leader, Winter Soldier, Second Banana, Lieutenant, Wonder Woman, the Maverick, Nightcrawler, Strong Guy, the Pit. We have the rookie, Invincible. And we have the mystery man, the Max. And Spider-Man dies second issue.
Yes, as comedy character, Spider-Man, science character, the Beast.
There may be a little melee there and everyone gets, 2 members get killed first issue. These characters need motivation to keep them together. It's going to be a bloodbath, man. There's going to be hair and webs everywhere.
Brett's team, which somehow had all those crazy characters and did not contain Deadpool. But nevertheless, Brett, the Mavericks, who are yours again?
It's true. Deadpool will be a special guest star in issue 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. But let's see now.
And in issue 7, Lobo will be the guest star.
Yes. All right. Team leader, Nick Fury. Second Banana would be Grifter. Combination Maverick Second Banana is the Punisher. Science Officer will be Bruce Banner. We have Comedy Element, which would be the Blue and the Gold. We got the Rookie, which would be Damage. And we have
Strong Guy,
who I said was going to be Bad Rock. And then finally, we have our Mystery Man, which is going to be Rorschach.
All right. And my dynamic leader is Captain America. My Second Banana, Hal Jordan. My Strong Guy, Exo Manowar. My Maverick is going to be the Black Panther. My Science Guy, John Henry Ironsteel. My Comedy Guy, Beast. And my Mystery Man, the Batman. So everybody, let us know which one of those you like the most, or if you forget about like the most, which are you also most likely to read? Because those might be different things. So you can hit us up on Mo_WeTalk. That's Chris_WeTalk. That's Brett_WeTalk. It's Comics and We Talk podcast. We want to hear from everybody. Hit us up on Twitter or email and tell us which ones you think are the most fun or the best team or just the team you're most likely to read. And I expect to win that one. Let's do some WeViews. Chris, why don't you open up? It's time for WeViews, because this week we are...
Here I come to save the day.
Saving you from bad comics.
And I'm going to say right now, this week, I don't think we're saving you from bad comics. I think this week, we're actually recommending good comics.
See, I was going to call it Chris, the Trinity of Sin, the WeViews.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Chris, what do we got?
Kurt Busiek returns with a new Astro City. What can you say about Astro City that hasn't been said? Spectacular. This is a series that I hope, I'm glad is back and I hope continues forever. Anyone got anything negative to say about Astro City?
Hell no. It's Brent Anderson is also returned. It's this time it's being published through DC's Vertigo imprint, even though I wouldn't say it really is listed. I wouldn't list it as adult or mature even content, at least in this first issue. I mean, kind of mature themes is what we saw in the original Astro City, but not a mature reader's comic book, I wouldn't say. I never read as much Astro City as I wanted to. I would pick up the occasional story arc, be blown away by it, always intend to go back and read the whole thing, and never get to it. This does a great job of being another great story. Again, it kind of setting up the universe. It kind of not much happens, but somehow because I'm familiar with Astro City, the fact that it's always been like this, and I know there's going to be the payoff of a great long storyline, I love this. Anderson's work, as always, is beautiful on pencils. Busiek creates interesting characters. It seems like the most personal book he's ever written. As always, it's a great relaunch and a great chance for new readers to get in and old. I think it satisfies both people. Brett, what do you think?
I wasn't actually that excited about the book. I didn't really feel it in this case. I really loved the first Astro City, and I haven't read all the Astro Cities. So perhaps if I did read through the 60 issues that had come before, then I would be there for this book that much more. But as a jumping on point, it didn't really hook me that much, and I probably wouldn't carry on. But knowing that I do have some fondness for Astro City, I would say that I would keep reading it, but later.
So you're saying you'll wait for a trade.
I would wait for a trade, yeah. And more so it would just kind of go on the pile of Astro City that has come before. I still have every intention of reading Astro City at some point. And this will go into that stack. So it's one of those cases where, yes, when I'm finally ready to read Astro City, this will probably be on issue like 24 or something like that. And I'll be like, okay, now it's time to get back into it. And by that point, ask me and I'll probably like it.
And people will probably be raving about it at that point. What do you want to review next, Chris, who wants to go?
Well, there's three books and three of us.
Why don't you do Hero Bear and the Kid Special number one from Kaboom?
All right.
It's imprint from Boom Studios.
And I know that absolutely anybody who knows me is completely expecting me to jump out and say that this is one of the best books I've read all year. And I'm absolutely going to jump out and say the complete opposite. As much as I love the art, I love the concept behind it, but I think the biggest problem that I have is that I really just wish that Mike Kunkel would let his art speak for the book as opposed to letting the million words that are in the book speak for it. The story is interesting, although I felt like it was a little forced. But it's just so loaded with dialogue and stuff that I couldn't get into it.
My God, has Mo borrowed your soul? That is a review I expect out of Mo. This book is pure joy. Calvin and Hobbes were the superhero set. I like the wordiness of it. Kids aren't stupid. I would not hesitate handing this to any kid of any age. This is just happiness.
By the way, I rarely say that a book is too wordy. That's one thing you don't hear from me often. Yeah, I would agree with Chris on this one, Brett. I'm really disappointed you didn't like this. It's too bad. I think this is a great book for all ages. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I like about this. There is, even though you say it's pure happiness, and it is pure joy because it's just a kid who gets to live out all his fantasies with this bear with superpowers who's his best friend. There's also a certain, I don't know, somber undertone that grounds it in reality that I think kids actually can relate to. Things like talking about how he got this from his grandfather who died and things like that. This does a great job, this one, because Hero Bear and the Kid has been around for a while before, but this is the first time I think it's published by the Kaboom imprint. And again, kudos to Boom Studios for being out front in publishing books for kids. This book, which is a great all-ages book, not just for kids as far as I'm concerned, does a great job of letting you know the characters and situations. I didn't find it too wordy, and Chris, you nailed it. I kept on thinking of Calvin and Hobbes, but I couldn't think of it. Exactly. You called it Calvin and Hobbes for the superhero set. So perfect. Like, I thought this was a terrific book. All right, well, I guess it's me on the last one, isn't it?
Pretty much.
And that was...
Daredevil.
Well, thank you, Brett. Thank you for your support. Daredevil. Give me 1 second here. I call that one up. It's Daredevil Dark Knights. Lee Weeks is the writer and artist. Lee Weeks has not been working for a while. I find it always very interesting when you take a – he's just – for a, and I say he's not been working, it's by his own choice, essentially. He's, you know, kind of – he was, you know, a writer and artist for many, many years. And this one, again, he's doing the art. His art is great in this book. It just sets a mood so brilliantly. And this is a master, somebody who understands the medium and has grown up with it through the years, who understands then how to use panels and pacing as an art form. This is comic book art. This is great comic book art, not beautiful art, but great comic book art. I think this is terrific. I always find it interesting when you take a guy who is from a different era, who hasn't been active, and then you get him in the modern day and age telling a new story with characters, because the style of how comic books are written and told is so different. And I think he was struggling at first in this. I mean, it opens up with a prologue, and then we have a flashback scene, and then we have another flashback scene, and then we finally get what's happening now. And so that's a little awkward. Like, it was a little awkward in that way. But I just think, I don't really know what the story is still. I think it might be the Daredevil is out there saving people, and it's snowing, and he can't see stuff in all the snow, which I'm sure it can't be the first time he's experienced, and he may have amnesia. So it doesn't do a good job of telling me that. But I think I felt like the dialogue was trying too hard to be overly poetic, and nobody talks like that. But it's artistic license. It's a beautifully drawn book. There is a certain amount of intrigue towards the end and to see what happens next. So I'm probably going to give it another issue or two. It's an 8-issue miniseries. But I'm a little on the fence on it. I like it, but I think I wanted to like it more than I actually do like it.
Keep in mind, though, and I'll just throw this out there, is that the Lee Weeks portion of this 8-issue miniseries is only 3 yeah. issues.
That's right. But he does the other guys. What is it, David Lapham?
David Lapham does 2, and then Palmiotti and somebody else do the last 3. So.
Yeah, so the people he has coming on are also very good artists, so I have no qualms about that. Your thoughts, Chris, because you kind of look like you're maybe not agreeing with me.
I have trouble reviewing this one just because it's all right. In a day and age that we can't wring a limited series out of DC, and Marvel seems to issue them for no apparent reason, that this could be the regular Daredevil book. There is no reason to separate this from out of regular continuity or anything like that.
But it
is not that special.
But Mark Waid writes the regular book. To have other creators write for Daredevil.
I'll give you the reason, though.
I understand what you're saying, but the reason is Lee Weeks is a legendary figure who hasn't done anything for a long time, who had this idea for this character, and Marvel was pleased to have this legendary figure do a new take on this classic character. So it's just an opportunity to have this guy play. It's almost like an homage to him for his previous work. Here's your chance to play with this character. Please have fun. It's our privilege and our honor to publish this for you. And hopefully your audience and Daredevil fans will find, will enjoy it. That's basically what it is. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, but you're saying, why are they doing this? That's why.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a good enough reason. I need something big to happen to after this miniseries closes. You know what? I might find a trade paperback when I'm going through a bin, but I can't say I'm going to remember this from the 8 other Daredevil limited series that have preceded it. It's an all right comic book. That's all I can say. I'm not going back for a second issue.
You know what? But if it was excellent, you'd have. It's not the idea that it's out of continuity. It's the idea that the quality isn't as high as you wished.
There's that. For a limited series, I think a limited series should be outstanding if it doesn't have something major happening in it.
I have to say, Chris, I mean, a lot of times over the years, I've read miniseries pulp where the character has a regular series and it's told out of continuity. And I'd say probably about a third of them I would consider good or very good or excellent. And most of them are average or below average. So it's unfortunate. I mean, I think you might be right. But it's not really the precedent. I
remember one days point reading. Ended last week. We get a new series this week. Why do we have two limited series ending back to back? Why don't we have a second Daredevil regular series? If this is
it's a coincidence that these creators were both writing miniseries at the same time. I think for the same character. But
I wouldn't be surprised that after this one ends, another one will start. It's a freaking regular series. Let's call it what it is.
Remember at one point, Brett, when we were reading four regular Spider-Man books or five regular Spider-Man books, and they had simultaneously five simultaneous miniseries going on in the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
That was the 90s, and like one of them was incredible, which I've never been able to find again. I don't even remember which one it was, and the other three or four were just blue.
Were just terrible.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you remember which one was really good? You know which one I'm talking about, but we can't remember the name, can you?
No, I don't.
It was written by like a guy who had never written anything before. He was an inker.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I probably have it kicking around somewhere, but who knows? No, I think that I agree with Chris in the one way. Like, the timing strikes me as a tad odd, given that the Bendis miniseries has just wrapped up, and we're immediately into another 8-issue miniseries. I think the thing that kind of is against your argument, Mo, is the fact that not only is it Lee Weeks, but it is the David Lapham and it is the Jimmy Palmiotti. Like, you have the three different creators working on the book, and the fact that it is another 8-issue miniseries. But I think as far as the book goes, I agree with you as well, Mo, that the whole thing seems a little clunky. That being said, by the end of it, I enjoyed the story, and I can certainly see wanting to read the next couple. I think one of the things that I kind of took out of this, and it's from us chatting here a little bit about it, is that I would really love to see a series where just any creator could kind of come in and do a story arc for any character at any given time and just do a series of that. So it's just like, yeah, you want to write a 3-issue, Lee Weeks wants to write a 3-issue Daredevil series? Yeah, go nuts. You know, we'll publish that coming up. Somebody wants to write a Spider-Man series, you know, that hasn't written it before? Go nuts. We'll put it in here. And just keep slotting different characters like that. I think that would be really...
We have seen that before, Brett, though.
Yeah, but I mean, this seems...
We don't have that right now.
No.
But we have seen it before.
But this is the kind of thing that that basically is. It's just focused on one character as opposed to all of them.
It's Legends of the Dark Knight is what you guys are saying.
Right, but that's just focused on one character. I'm talking about making it focused on the entire universe, not...
So, yeah, Legends of the DC Universe that they did that, for instance.
Oh, okay.
That ran after the success of Legends of the Dark Knight in the 90s. So, I mean, it has happened before, but you're right, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm not saying it hasn't happened before. I'm just saying that... This seems like what they're trying to do kind of thing, but they're just using Daredevil right now.
So basically, though, all right, then Brett and I will be back. Chris is a little disappointed, but doesn't think it's a bad book, just not great enough to add in.
Not worth my cash.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Mo, we talk podcast. No, that's not right. Comics that we talk podcast.com for email. And Mo_WeTalk. Check out Comicosity. Check out our friends at Comic Book Therapy, Comic Book Podcasts. What else? Anything else plugs wise? Check out Keith at CupReporterK on Twitter. You'll be back hopefully next week. We have some fun stuff coming up, guys. So don't worry. Chris, got anything?
Yeah, I'm Chris_WeTalk on Twitter. Give us a shout out. Always willing to chat on Twitter. Support virtually anything on Kickstarter because Chris needs his stuff.
You know what? Let's do another Kickstarter My Heart coming up. Like
we got it. That was so much fun last
year. That's fun. We can do that again.
All right. Who gets to talk to Rob Liefeld?
I would love to interview.
Hey, I'm a supporter. I want to talk to Batten Lash.
Yeah, about, for sure. That's true.
That'd be great, too. Yeah.
All right, for Brett. Me, I am Brett_WeTalk on the Twitter. New numbers game will be coming up soon, so that'll make Mo happy. And otherwise, like you say, I mean, we got so much stuff coming up. I mean, it's gonna be a chock full month of June, I would say.
Yeah, it was gonna be a lot of fun stuff, and I just gotta say, Chris, I love that he says he's happy to chat on Twitter. He is. And he was the guy who was last on Twitter and really didn't want to do it. He's like, oh, I don't want to do Twitter. I hate Facebook. I'm going to hate Twitter. Now he loves Twitter because he gets to talk comics with people he never even knew and become new friends with all the time.
Yeah, it's much better than Facebook.
Oh, yeah, Facebook sucks. All right.
Are we leaving with the comic book attractions?
Yeah,
that we are.
Chris, what do we got?
I am calling this the worst comic book movie of all time. And you're talking to a guy who has seen the Turkish Superman. It's god awful. Luckily, my comic book attractions is also short this week.
All right. And with that, we'll go OUT with Chris's comic book attractions.
Welcome to my ongoing project to watch every comic book inspired movie ever made and just share a little bit of my thoughts and encourage you to watch them, whether they be good, bad, or just plain weird. These things need to be watched. This week, I sort of jumped on the grenade. I rewatched what I consider the worst comic book movie ever made. Of course, I am referring to 2005's Elektra, spin-off of a much better, although not perfect, Daredevil movie. We have Jennifer Garner starring as Elektra. For the record, I don't think she's bad casting. I actually have a fondness for her in the previous movie. This movie, however, has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Maybe one, but I'll get to that later. Before I wreck it for you, let's just get the hardest part of this over with. Just so my eyes can stop bleeding, I'm going to play a little bit of the trailer as I usually do. And, that way, I don't have to watch anymore after this.
For centuries, a war has been waged in the shadows by two armies born of incredible powers. And yet, it is said there lives a warrior with the ability to tip the balance between good and evil. But first, she must choose.
Okay, that's as much as I can take. What went wrong with this movie? It's really hard to theorize. I was trying to work on something about, well, the Daredevil movie took the iconic points of the Elektra saga, which I read right before watching this, which made the movie even worse in comparison. Maybe there just wasn't anywhere to go. But I threw out that theory because this movie doesn't so much happen, isn't propelled by Elektra. This movie happens to Elektra. The main character seems to have everything happen to her. She's a spectator in her own story. She just walks through these events seemingly mildly affected. The problems, I think, are in the DNA of this film. Is nobody knew what this film should be. At the same time, you have a lack of comic book knowledge, which hurts it for fans. Typhoid Mary is one of my favorite all-time characters in comic books. And here they distill her character down to her most generic form. You know what? I don't like bagging on movies. I really don't. Because obviously I wouldn't be watching and recording my thoughts on all these comic book movies if I didn't even love the bad ones. This one I don't love. But, you know what? Enough of that. Let's find something good to say. I think the one area they went really right in this, and it's unfortunately this isn't a better movie because I don't think we'll ever get to see what they did right in a good movie, and that's the casting of Terrence Stamp as Stick. I think this is inspired casting. Sure, he's not Asian, but to me he looks exactly like the character and has the gruffness to really pull it off. Unfortunately, as you heard in that little snippet of the trailer, he never shuts up. This wouldn't play in the comic book. Stick isn't a verbose character, and if we could have had Terrence Stamp play it straight like the comic book, I think it would have been a wonderful performance. As it is, he didn't have anything to work with. Well, at least the Lecter property, I believe, has reverted back to Marvel Entertainment with Daredevil. So, in the future, when we're all riding in an Elektra-inspired teacup ride at Disneyland, at least we can say it could be worse. They could be still making movies. This one hurt. I would not advise going here. End of my thoughts. Chris O.U.T.